It'll be next week, and then the last two Thursdays of February. There's no question, no doubt in my mind, in my heart, that the Spirit of God has arranged this. He's got some special things in mind for His special people. Amen. Say, I'm special. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to say evenings that might cause you to have to think a little bit. Because it may be some things you have not heard before. I'd like for you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and the 18th verse. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us, leading us into all truth, making that truth alive in our hearts and mind. And I thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word bearing fruit, hundredfold, sixtyfold, thirtyfold. Let every word that I speak be your words. Let every word bring grace to the hearer and what's necessary for edification. Thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 18th verse. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish or confirm. Confirm is the Hebrew word there. Confirm His covenant He swore to your fathers as it is this day. So the Word of God tells us that first, remember the Lord. We have a tendency sometimes to forget Him. But He says, remember the Lord in this way, that He gives you power. Now that word power in the Hebrew is the word koach, vigor, strength, force, capacity, wealth, means, substance. Generally the word means capacity, ability, power to get wealth. Now, most haven't thought enough about that verse to understand what God is actually saying. Many have taught that God needs us to use our power to get our money so that we can give our money so that God can get the gospel out. Trust me when I tell you, God is well able to get the gospel out without us. He has no problems other than maybe us once in a while. But the Father does love us all the time. Now, here's one of the things that I want you to understand before we proceed. God always deals with us according to His covenant and His promise. He does not deal with us according to our sin. So that's the first thing I want, that way of thinking in your mind to be changed today. Because God wants you to prosper beyond what you can imagine. And one of the things that you must understand is that that His covenant be confirmed in our life. Are you hearing? He deals with us according to His promise, His covenant. You see, God is so about covenant and agreement that even if someone He agreed has a covenant with breaks their end, He does not sue for breach of contract. He performs His end anyway. He always keeps covenant. Amen. He made covenant with Abraham. Abraham did some things that were a little suspect to me. And they're probably a little suspect to God. But Scripture says He made Abraham wealthy. He made Abraham prosperous and then very prosperous. Why? Because He dealt with Abraham according to His covenant. Not according to what Abraham did or didn't do or according to his sin. Now, God can afford to deal with us now according to the new covenant, not according to our sin, because of, glory to God, Jesus. Amen? If you're not clinging real hard to Jesus, if you're not holding on to Him really, really tight, tighten your grip. Amen? Because we don't want to deal with Father God without Jesus hooked there, right there with us. Amen? He remembers our sin no more. Why? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When? Now? What about tomorrow? Tomorrow will be now, and you're cleansed. What about next week? It'll be now. You're cleansed. The blood never what? Loses its power. It's eternal. What does this have to do with prosperity? You see, tonight I must convince you that God wants you to prosper. Well, that's a no-brainer. You'd be surprised. You'd be very surprised of what goes on in hearts and minds. I've heard an awful lot of stuff over 35 years of what people believe about God, what God's doing. It is amazing. No. He does not want you broke. He does not want you poor. He does not want you wanting. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, we're coming into a time where the Lord is bringing to the body of Christ wealth beyond what we can imagine because we're going to need it. And He wants to teach His people how to come into that place of prosperity no matter what's going on in this messed up world. Your prosperity, your wealth is not tied to what's going on in this world. It's time to believe it. It's time to walk in it. And it's time to receive the wisdom from God on how to. You see, that's what wisdom is. Proverbs says that wisdom is more precious than gold. And understanding is better than silver. So what is it that I'm after? Am I after the money? No, I'm after the wisdom and the understanding. Of what? God's ways. His wisdom. Now, in Deuteronomy, if I could find this in here, in the New Living, there had to be a copy back there. I don't read it regularly, but I do use it to look up particular verses because it's a good one to help us. Now, Deuteronomy 8:18 in the New Wind. Always remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you power to become rich. So that's a little bit more than just spiritually rich. Spiritually rich don't pay the bills. They want real money out there. Amen? How many of you... power company, I'm spiritually rich. No, we want money. All right. To be rich. And he does it to fulfill the covenant he made with your ancestors. See, this is not about getting money so that God's covenant can spread. This is about God saying, look, I need millionaire givers to prove my covenant in the earth. That's what this is about. Lord spoke to me 2 years ago in January, and he said to me, I was on my way back from Miami, had gone to a church down in Miami, driving back to Orlando, 215-mile drive, so you get to spend some time with the Lord. See, I know why Paul prayed in tongues more than all of them, because he did it when he walked everywhere he went. What else is there to do that's better than that? Amen? They'd ride a horse once in a while, but hey, this man walked and ride a horse for 3 months to get from one place to the other. That's a lot of good praying time. Amen? So is your car. Amen? Remember the Lord thy God when you get in the car. Amen? Now, why am I remembering the Lord? Because he is my total source. Until you make him your total source, you will limit him. See, if I asked you a question tonight and I said, how many of you believe God can do anything? Anybody? About 3 of you. How many believe God can do anything? How many believe he can do beyond what you can think or ask? However, that's according to the power that works in you. Now, if that power is not working in you, the only way that God can be limited is when we limit him. You say, well, how do I limit him? This is how. As you believe, let it be done unto you. How many times did Jesus say that? As you believe, let it be done unto you. Well, Lord, help me with my believing. Amen. That's why your way of thinking needs to be adjusted. There is no, God has not limited what we will allow him to do through us. We do it. Are you hearing me? Number one, is he your total source, or is your paycheck, your job, your business, other people, all those other means by which money can get to us? But no, remember the Lord thy God. He is my total source. I don't trust anyone else. I'm not trusting the government. Hallelujah. But how many people in their hearts are trusting the government to survive? Now, I want to tell you, I respect the government, but the government makes a terrible God. Amen? My God shall meet all my need according to his riches and glory. Not the government. After all, they get the money from us. It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? Who's your total source? God. Remember, He is my total source. That may sound simple until the day comes when He has to be your total source. When does that come? That comes when in your mind and heart you can't figure out how to get this money to do this. That's a great day. Hallelujah. That's the day when you see the grace of God. That's the day when you appreciate Jesus. That's the day when you appreciate that Jesus is Lord. Amen. I've been there. And God's never failed to come through. Can you get a little squeamish? Sure. Can it come to your mind sometimes? Oh no, what am I going to do? Yeah, I can. But God's faithful. Amen? Now, it's important for us to understand something. And I'm going to go back to my drive back from Miami. But it's important to understand that God wants His children to prosper beyond what they need. Now, you can live in three places before the Lord. You can live in not enough. You can live in just enough. Or you can live in more than enough. He wants more than enough. Why? So that you have to give. He who ministers to the poor, he who gives to the poor, promise of the word of God, will never lack. Catch that. See, that's part of the wisdom of God. Wisdom. In all your getting wisdom, get understanding. I want to talk a little bit about getting understanding. However, we have to do something right about now. On my way back, the Lord spoke to me. He says, I'm anointing you to teach people how to be millionaire givers. And I said, really? How's that going to work? He said, I'm going to impart all the wisdom they need. And you tell them this. If they will pay attention to the wisdom and they will get the understanding, they will have all the wisdom and knowledge and understanding they need that I can bring them to the place of being a millionaire giver. Well, what does that mean? Let's define the millionaire giver. That's a person who gives $1 million in their lifetime or more. Now, J.C. Penney was a Christian. How many know the J.C. Penney stores? He was a Christian. He gave 90% of his income to the Lord. 90%! And he toughed it out on $2 million a year for himself. He gave $18 million a year out of his 20. How many of you know he was comfortable? Can you see yourself doing that? There's one. Well, let's not go that far right now. Let's go right here where the Lord has impressed upon me. He said this to me. He said, when I was preparing for tonight, because I don't do this all the time. He said, The group tonight are eligible. The group tonight are eligible. Tell them, remember me. I'm their total source. Tell them to pay attention to the wisdom of the word and get understanding. And I will make them millionaire giver. Now, how many of you can hear from God? Raise your hand. Say, I, how many have heard God before? We've all been there where is this me? Is this God? You know, all that. And, you know, God, he's so patient. He'll confirm it to you until it's undeniable. See? How many of you, when I pray this prayer, I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to every person and tell them, speak to them, I want you to be a millionaire giver. Are you ready? Lord, you know who they are. And I know, Lord, your will for the last days is millionaire givers. And you're about doing this. I ask you to speak to each person that you have called to be a millionaire giver in these last days. I thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for it. If you have the knowing, I know. Come up here. Come up here and stand right here. One, two, three. There's four more at least that he's speaking to. Don't miss Jesus when he passes by. Brother Don, that oil in your pocket, we're ready for it. One more. You know, whoever the person that's thinking I'm crazy, it's probably you that God's trying to get up here. Let me tell you this. If you're not willing to be crazy for Jesus, okay, heaven's waiting. Because it ain't fun otherwise. Amen? Now, it's not limited to this. Wait a minute. One, two, three, four, five, six. One more. The two shall become one. That doesn't mean they're given a half a million each. I think it's a million each. Did I get it? One, two, three, four, five. They're married. Oh, they're married? Yeah. Two more.
And they're married.
Yeah. One, two, three, four, five. Two more. Now, if you're one out there right now and you're thinking, I don't know how God could possibly do this with me. You're one he's talking to. Get up here.
Let's go.
God loves those challenges. All things are possible to those who believe. One, two, three, four, five, six. One more. Now, can't wait all night. We're on the clock. You know, there's a person here, you know what they just thought? They thought, I'd like to see God do it with them. That's probably you. I got news for you. Everyone standing here, they are the perfect candidate for God.
That's right.
Amen? Because you believe. That's why you're standing here and sitting. Okay? So now, Brother Don's going to anoint you with oil. I'm going to go right behind him, and I am going to speak the anointing for a millionaire giver into your life. And you receive it. How do I receive it? You receive from God by believing, faith. Thank you, Lord. Millionaire giver in the name of Jesus. Anointing to be a millionaire giver in the name of Jesus. Anointing. Anointing to be a millionaire giver in the name of Jesus. Anointing to be a millionaire giver. Anointing to be a millionaire giver in the name of Jesus. Anointing. Anointing to be a millionaire giver. Anointing to be a millionaire giver. Thank you, Lord. Anointing to be a millionaire giver. Anointing to be a millionaire giver. Sit down with your wife. Hallelujah. Would you all say with me, thank you, Lord. I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There was another seven who are not here tonight. But that's okay. God's merciful. They show up next week. To give them another chance. Amen. He's going to do amazing things with the two of you. So amazing, you might even say, that's amazing. Hallelujah. Paul prays a prayer. Paul prays a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. That's a very important prayer. All the prayers that are recorded in the Bible, they're worthy of our study. Okay? Because all of it is according to the will of God. Isn't it? If we pray anything according to the will of God, we know He hears us, and in that He hears us, we have what we ask for. When? Now. See, you're all millionaire givers now! Amen? Because God said so. Amen. We got the right group. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Paul's praying this for the saints. He said, I'm praying the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know, that you may know, that you may know that the eyes of your understanding open, that you can see. Okay, and you can understand. It's so crucial for us to understand. Wisdom is a principal thing, and all you're getting, get understanding. The body of Christ has an issue. There's so many things that we don't understand, that we need to understand. For example, understanding that healing is for everyone. God's not trying to do any tricky stuff. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. And that becoming understanding and having a revelation of what that understanding is. What does that mean? Well, turn over to Matthew with me for a moment. And I want to show you something extremely important. Everything that happens in our life as a child of God happens as a result of the Word of God being planted in us. Jesus said, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, if you don't understand this truth, how will you understand anything that has to do with the kingdom of God? He said, the whole kingdom of God works this way. It's as if man plants a seed, and it grows, and we know not how. How many of you have ever planted a garden? How many of you know it grew? We don't have any idea how. It just does. Well, it does that because God, when He created everything, spoke that into the earth as a spiritual law. He said, this is the way everything is going to work. So when you and I plant, I planted some plants. You planted some plants? How many of you were begging God to make it grow? Anybody? I didn't do that. Why? Because I knew when I planted the seed, it was going to grow. You plant the seed of the Word of God in your heart, you know what it's going to do? It's going to grow. You see, let me just back up one little step here. This by itself has no power. I know, I grew up in a Catholic home. We had the biggest Bibles, and boy, what a mess our family was. I mean, seriously. And then I got received Jesus, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I spent 2 years in this Word, 6-8 hours a day, and I learned some things. What I learned, first of all, was a lot of what I was taught wasn't right. Because this is the truth. Amen? It is a life changer. Look at Matthew 13 with me. Matthew 13, Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower. He goes through that up into the ninth verse. He's telling the parable. Now the disciples in the 10th verse ask him, what does this mean? Now, he goes through in the 18th verse. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, Satan comes immediately and plucks the word out. He snatches it away, what was sown in the heart. Now, look with me over at the 23rd verse. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, and look at that again, understands it. See, I have a quest. In addition to the millionaire givers, the Lord has also laid it on my heart. I want to see Christians experience this in their life. Not wishing and hoping. You understand what I'm saying? By Jesus' stripes we were healed. Bless God, there ought not to be any sick Christians. And I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, what is going on here? Help me out here. It ought not to be this way. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Not worrying, not complaining, not strife, not all of that. Amen. Well, we might as well be a group that takes the front end on it and say, look, I'm declaring war on all of that nonsense. I want, Lord, I want everything that is promised in your word to come to pass in my life. I'm not settling for anything else. You tolerate it, you won't do anything about it. Everybody smile. Amen. Oh me? Time to take a stand. Isn't it? Draw the line. My wife does this. She goes, I walk in the house sometimes. She goes, I just drew the line in the sand. I know what that means. Amen. Understands. Well, wait a minute. What is that actually talking about to understand? See, when I first read that years ago, I thought, how in the world can Satan come and steal something I don't understand? You know, that sounds kind of, word is sown, person doesn't understand, Satan comes immediately and snatches or steals away that word. My goodness, what's the deal here? It's because the word understand needs to be looked at and understood. Let me go over that a little bit for you. And if you can get your mind renewed and understand what it is to understand, okay, it will go a long way to you having victory, ruling and reigning over every situation in your life. That's what God's called us to do. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness and reign in this life. That means every time I come up against a problem, every time I come up against a trial, every time I come up against something, you get under my feet. It's an opportunity to see the riches of His grace working in my life. And you know what? That's an opportunity. Come on, devil. Walk into the trap. Amen. We've got to change our thinking, our way of thinking. We're here to destroy His works. Understand? Everybody, understand?
Amen.
He can't hurt me. What's the absolute worst thing that would ever happen to you? You go to heaven. And guess what? Paul said, that's really better. See? We're here to do an assignment for the Lord Jesus. That's why we're here. If He didn't have something for you and I to do the moment you receive Him as Lord and Savior, it's time to check out. Huh? But He's got a purpose for your life. He's got His will for your life, His desire for your life, but He wants to see that accomplish. It's he who wills and does in our life. When Brother Don was talking about giving over to Jesus, let me put it to you this way. Lord, you do it in me. You see, hey, let me throw this at you so you can change your thinking on this. We're not called by God to figure out what His will is and try to make it come to pass. We're called by God to hear what His will is, believe Him, and He makes it come to pass. Some of you need to be free. God's not up there going, "You're not doing my will, you're not doing my..." No, God's up there saying, "Stop trying to do it and let me." Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read some notes that I made on understanding. Praise the Lord. The Greek word, the Greek verb, systemi, which is the Greek word for understand, pictures what is involved in understanding something. It refers to the act of drawing together or uniting one's perceptions of a thing with a thing itself, enabling our perceptions to be exactly accurate to reality. It is like placing a piece of tracing paper atop a picture that is a direct transfer of the original. So to understand a person or object, one must have an exact picture in their mind. Any deviation from the real object or person becomes an inaccurate copy, a misunderstanding. Do you see Jesus as your health giver? If you don't, you have an inaccurate understanding. Amen. Do you see Jesus as the one who sets you free from every sin? If you don't, you have not understanding, you have an inaccurate copy. And it will take a toll on you. It's a misunderstanding. Do you see Jesus as the one who can make you and has made you a millionaire giver? You need to see that tomorrow morning, just like you see it now. Amen? Our English word understand means quite literally to stand under. Kind of no-brainer, is it? Understand. To stand under. This notion is mirrored in our synonym comprehend, which literally means to seize completely. A full understanding of something requires that we stand under it, walk in its shadow, get inside to learn its inner workings, grasp it, hold it aggressively and tightly. And this notion keeps us to comprehend how one comes to understand God's word. You see, the parable of the sower, And Jesus is teaching this, but look at this. All right? He hears the word and understands it. Now turn with me quickly over to Luke chapter 8. For those that have your Bible, you don't look on somebody else. If not, there's Bibles back there. But putting the word in your eyes is good on your way to your millionaire giving life. So in Luke chapter 8, he's teaching again, and we're going to come down to 15th verse of Luke 8. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it. That's the same word. Seize it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. and bear fruit with endurance, consistency. Some hear that tonight when I mention millionaire giver, one of the issues is, do you understand that? Well, if I understand that, and I receive that understanding of it, I hear that said, I receive that, and I hold it. I don't ever say anything else, but I'm a millionaire giver. Because when the day comes that you're confronted by someone, how many of you have been confronted over your faith in Jesus? It is very, very important in that situation what you say. Because that's Satan coming to steal that word. How many of you have ever heard the word of God concerning healing? And you receive that, and you believe that, and now you're saying, Lord, I believe I'm healed. You get up the next day, you still feel sick. The next thing that comes out of your mouth is going to determine whether or not you're going to hold that word. Or you're going to, as I like to say, spit it out. How do you think he gets it out of you? Have you have understanding in this area of how he gets out of you? That's how he does it. And he'll send some close people to you. My whole family thought I went crazy and told me so. But they're saved. They're saved. And my wife's parents and my parents who thought we had gone off, they're in heaven today. They all received. One reason is we wouldn't give it up. My mother, red face, looked right at me with her face red, screaming what a Benedict Arnold I was. You know why? Because I wasn't Catholic anymore. I said, Mom, if it's between Jesus and you, you lose. I wasn't as smooth then as I am now. Saved a couple of years and just ready to go. Don't tell me. Do you understand that? And sure, the devil's going to come after you when it comes to the word on prosperity, when it comes to wealth, when it comes, they're going to give you all kinds of guff. Why? Absolutely does not want the gospel financed. It's time for the body of Christ not to be broke. See, there's nothing in the Word of God says that. There's nothing in the Word of God at all that has anything to do with being broke and being spiritual at the same time. Hello? You know the grace of the Lord Jesus that although he was rich, how many of you ever heard Jesus was poor? I heard it the other day on some secular program how Jesus started this movement because he was so poor in his life and all of this and, you know, and what the socialist spirit is behind it. But I got word of God. I got it written by God himself. Although he was rich, he became poor. That through his poverty, we are made rich. That's money, folks. You read it in Corinthians, All right? Second Corinthians, the context is money. But there's wisdom in there. And we're going to get into that, to receive that wisdom that God has placed for us to receive. Okay? That we may increase, that we may prosper. Or, as God said in the garden, right at the beginning, He blessed them and He said, be fruitful and multiply. Brothers and sisters, church, if you are not increasing continually, spiritually, in your soul, financially, socially, in your family relationships, the blessing is not working. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight, let's get this blessing working. That's what blessing means. God blessed Abraham, and everything he did prospered. Brothers and sisters, church, listen. Everything you put your hand to, God says, I want it to prosper. Everything. Amen? Understand that. Well, how do I understand that? I see it. The eyes of my understanding. Okay, open to know. Know what? I know that God has blessed me. When I don't see it, I don't feel it. You know, I got up the other day and I did. That has nothing to do with it. Nothing. It has nothing to do with the truth that God has spoken. That's just a circumstance. They're temporal. They're subject to change. And we're to change them. God wasn't fooling around when He gave us dominion. He meant it. You want change in your life? Change it. In the name of Jesus. Brother Don said it. Every knee bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. You know, when you confess Jesus is Lord over your finances, He gets involved. Because you permitted Him to. How? Because I said, Jesus, you're Lord over. Even the blessing of God cannot come upon you. All right? Listen to me very carefully. Unless you make a decision. Remember Jesus preaching? Anybody remember Him saying, whosoever will, whosoever will, whosoever will, whosoever will? What do you think He was saying? Will you receive it? God's not going to transgress our will. He's not going to come in and bless us against our will. Hello? You received Jesus as Lord how? You decided. It's the same thing. Would you make the decision tonight? I will be prosperous. Because God wants me to. Amen? Please, tonight, when you leave tonight, have your mind renewed in your thinking and understand something. It is the will of God that you have abundance for every good work. That you lack nothing at any time. I'm going to bring that girl with me. Hallelujah. With that much agreement, the devil has no place against you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, one last point, and then we have a foundation, and next three times, we're going to get into the wisdom. Amen. We're going to see just exactly how it is. And I want to give you this tonight. Turn to Luke chapter 16, because I'm going to lay a little bit of a foundation for that. Luke 16. Verse 1, I got a little bit to read here, so strap yourself in. He also said to the disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account for your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." This man's he just got fired. Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master's taken the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do. That when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of his master's debtors and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 100 measures of oil. So he said, "Take your bill and make it 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" 100 measures of wheat. He said, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. Now, I read that the first three times I read it years ago. I said, "What is this? Come on, Lord. You're saying this guy did good?" So it took me a little bit of getting into it to get understanding, to see what was going on there. Now, here's what was going on. The unjust steward just went to what he'd been doing all along, having the customers cut the bill and getting a kickback. Huh? And it worked. How many of you understand that in the world system, which we are free from, we've been delivered from, we're no longer in that system, we're in the kingdom of God, but in the world system, that goes on a lot. You look shocked. A lot of stuff goes on that's not ethical. It's not moral. It's illegal. And certainly unscriptural. But this man had to take care of himself. And he knew what worked. Okay? This is what worked. This is what I did. Boy, when I get kicked out, I'm going to have a place to stay. So Jesus says, watch this. He says, verse 8, look at verse 8. "So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly." Now here's what Jesus was teaching. "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light." People in the world use all the principles and all the stuff in the world to provide for themselves and all of this. And Jesus is over here going, the sons of light are not using the principles of the kingdom. You understand? The spiritual laws of the kingdom. One example. The whole world system is based on buying and selling. That's how it works. How many of you know that? If somebody doesn't buy something and somebody don't sell anything, you have a recession. If somebody ain't buying something, you have people losing their job. because companies shut down because they can't make enough, and so forth and so on. So why does the government do what it does in the world system? They're trying to take the world system and use it, okay, by pumping enough money in there to get people to buy something of who has it to selling it. Now, this system will creep into churches. We need money, so we need to sell something. Huh? So it's a world mentality that creeps its way into the church, the body of Christ, and I got news for you. Nothing of the world works in the kingdom. You leave it all out there. God's not having any of that. You either receive the wisdom and get the understanding of how He operates, or you don't operate. You can get over there in that world system and grub along and toil away with the rest of them. And that's what a lot of Christians do. I say no more of that. You've been delivered from the present evil age. You've been delivered from the world system. It's been crucified to you and you to it. Amen? Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Do you understand that the way I taught understanding? Do you see yourself no longer in that system? Have you stopped thinking that way? Worse, I grew up Catholic. We got bingo. How many know that ain't the God system? That's man trying to get his own needs met without God. Trying to figure out a way to do it. So the whole world system is based on buying and selling. So the instant you have a problem financially, you want to buy or sell. Well, I don't do that, but you work for somebody who does. So the answer that many Christians, I have them come and ask me to pray for them. I will not pray the prayer that says, I need more income, so I need another 20 hours of work. Oh, that only kicks you up to what, 70? How many of you know that is not God's system? Brother, how come you fall asleep in the service? I'm working 70 hours a week. I got to rest somewhere. How many of you know that is not the Lord? Amen. Amen. Kingdom of God says, we operate in the kingdom on sowing and reaping. Church body has a need. Lord, where do you want us to give? Where do you want us to sow the seed? Where do you want? Listen, I can tell you, in my life, in 35 years, we'd be here till the morning, the deal. That's how the kingdom works. Now, our mind goes, how could that be? When our mind is conformed to the world system, it says, whoa, I'm giving? I gotta have less. The kingdom of God says, no, you give, you have more. So what needs to happen? Understanding. The mind renewed. The way of thinking renewed. You know how many Christians, if they have sickness come upon them, the first thing they do is call the doctor. What is that? That is a world system mentality. You say, John, you mean we shouldn't go to the doctor? By all means, go, but go in faith. Amen? They call me and they say, so-and-so is sick and they have to go to the doctor. Here's my question. Did you pray? Well, no, not yet. How many of you know that is not a renewed mind into the truth of the Word of God. The most powerful thing we can do on this earth is pray. Why? Because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one God you said can do anything and raise your hand is who you're talking to. Huh? The nation of Israel never, ever won a victory until they inquired of the Lord. Anytime they didn't inquire of the Lord, you know what? They got a bloody nose. So you can see now, God, Jesus is saying, sons, daughters, learn. Learn the wisdom of the kingdom and put it to work for us. You see, the devil, I'm going to close with this, the devil can only take spiritual law and twist it to make it work against us. That's all. He is not creative. He's not the hot rod he's made himself out to be. He's a liar and a deceiver. And all he does is take spiritual law, the way it works, and cause us to turn it around against us. So it works against us. See, God is not in charge anymore of the seed growing. The plant grows, we know not how. Because God has already said that's how it works. The only one who can stop that seed from growing is us. God won't. Why? Because it would be against His word. And He'll never violate His word. Yes, but He's love. Yes, He is. But He'll never violate His word. The day that God violated His word, we'd all disappear. The universe would be gone. Everything's held together by His word. The devil knows he can't get to first base with God. And I'm going to close with this little revelation. One day I saw the lightning bolt come down, hit the earth. It took about a second. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, see that? I said, yeah, I saw that. He said, that's how long the war in heaven lasts. And I had a revelation. You know, the devil ain't anything. It took God as long as a lightning bolt coming down onto earth to dispatch him when Scripture says He made war in heaven. Yeah. You're crazy. How many of you know no one can beat God? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this evening. And I thank You, Lord, for the millionaire givers. And I thank You for the truth of Your word. And more than that, Lord, we declare war. War on confusion. War on lack. War on worry. War on the cares of this world. In the name of Jesus. And right now, Lord, we enter rest. Because Your word says that those who have believed do enter rest. And we're those that have believed. And we enter rest. Right now. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week.